Prairie Chamber of Commerce.
Hello there. My name's Stephen Williams. I'm part of the University of Southern California Student Travel Cooperative. How you doing?
Good.
Well, I have a large number of students who are involved in USC's Art and Humanities Initiative. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that.
Not really.
Well, basically, in English, this means they perform in the theater. Anywho, they'll be performing Alexei Rotmansky's new production of The Firebird in Tempe at Gamage Auditorium Wednesday, June 6th to Thursday, June 7th. It's a wonderful production. You should really go see it.
Yeah, probably not on a Wednesday.
Well, anywho, we also understand that on Saturday, it's the Great Western Tube Float thingy that you guys do.
Yes.
That's going to be Saturday, June 9th.
Right.
Which, by the way, I've been to, and it is a blast.
Oh, okay.
It's awesome. It's absolutely great. I got, like, really crap-faced one time. It's crazy. Anywho, we're hoping to get some information regarding the tube float because we would all like to make this as part of a weekend-long excursion for our student groups.
Yeah.
Now Ahi's group alone, sorry, that's Arts and Humanities Initiative for short. Not everybody knows that acronym. Anyways, this includes performers, stagehands, crew, faculty, staff. It stands around 85 people.
Wow.
But since we're also opening this up to other students, the numbers will be a lot greater. And as of now, there's 12 coach buses that are reserved for students. And I will say this. The buses are filling fast, and we'll probably end up getting a few more buses also. It's going to be crazy weekend. Wow. It's going to be absolutely crazy. So anywho, basically what I need is tons of information. Like I need to make reservations for hotels. I need to see if they have enough parking for all these buses. And I also need to know where to get tubes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. We're so excited about this.
There's plenty of places here you can get tubes. That shouldn't be an issue.
This is your event?
Correct? Yes, it is. Yes.
Okay. Where would we meet? Where does all this take place?
It's called Patria Flats Day Use Area, and that's where it begins at.
Patricia Flats.
Patria. Okay. Oh, Patria. No C in there.
Oh, Patria. Okay.
And you could show up there and register, or you could pre-register. And people that pre-register, when they show up, they get a T-shirt. An event T-shirt and a goodie bag with stuff in it that the sponsors put in there.
So you said register or pre-register. I'm not too familiar with this. When I went about four, five, maybe 6 years ago, I just showed up with my tube. What do you mean by register?
Yeah, we try to register people. So they'll be first off to help the chamber with the fundraising. And then also that covers the participants under our insurance policy.
Okay, so we just grab a piece of paper and just you have to mail them to me? How's this going to work?
Well, there's actually a website, and you can print out the register, just a PDF form. You print it out, fill it out, the name of your team and the size of your shirt that you want and this and that. And you can just mail it in with a check or call it in, you know, credit card.
I'm not too sure. You said check or credit card. What's that for?
For the registration fee, it's $15.
There's a fee of $15?
Yes, yes.
They said a fee of
$15. Yes, he says there's a fee. There's a fee for the tube float. Were you aware of this, hon? Hold on, I'm gonna give you the phone to my friend here. Hold on.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi there. $15?
Yeah, tube float.
For the group?
It's a per person registration
fee. Per person?
Fee. Yes.
15 for the whole group?
Per person?
Yes.
And that would cost... Hold on a sec. That would cost us about $10,000.
Everyone's got to pay $15?
That would cost us about $10,000.
That can't be right.
I don't understand. Do you own the river?
No. No, absolutely not.
But how can someone who doesn't own something charge someone to access it?
Well, actually, you can access the river anytime you want.
I mean, if you're having a birthday party at the park, do you charge people to come in the park?
No.
Do you stand on the sidewalks of Parker and charge people to walk down it?
Sometimes we do.
I don't understand. Is the air free in Parker to breathe?
There is an air fee.
Do you have some kind of surcharge to breathe in Parker?
Yeah, there is a small surcharge for
the
air.
Let me give you back my...
Okay.
How much does it cost to breathe in Parker?
Well, it depends on how big your lungs are. It varies.
Damn, I'm going to go broke going there. Okay, so what do we need to do? What do we need to do to get this going? I mean, I doubt everyone's going to pay. I'll pay just because I think you sound cute. But I'll pay, and I can't speak for my partner over there because he's pretty off right now.
Okay.
So what do I need to do, sweetheart?
If you go to parkeraz.org, there's information on there.
Parkeraz.org.
Yeah, that's our chamber website. And on the side, you'll see a thing that says events, and you click on that. It'll take you to Two Float.
All right, we'll see you at the Two Float.
All right, looking forward.
Goodbye.
Bye.
From the shores of the Colorado River on the beautiful Parker Strip, you're listening to the Parker Livecast.
It's a little better.
All right.
Yeah, not perfect. But then again, it's life. What is?
Welcome to this week's edition of the Parker Livecast. I'm John Wright.
I'm Josh Savina.
Josh, I'm so glad to see you. Speaking of this, the last time we were on the live cast,
I had a gallbladder.
You did have a gallbladder, and now you do not. And it all happened like within 12 hours after we taped the last live cast.
It was crazy.
Yeah. So tell the people a brief synopsis of what happened.
Okay. So it was a Thursday after lunch. I started to feel a little achy.
A little weird.
Like, this is like, man, did I have some? It always feels like really bad food poisoning, by the way. For those of you who are wondering, how should I know if it's a gallbladder?
And would they say it in that exact voice?
Like, how do I know it's a bad gallbladder? Well, it starts off as like severe cramping, as if you ate something bad, and you're like, oh man, this is gonna suck. And it does, but it gets worse and worse and worse, and then nausea sets in and you throw up, and then the pain continues. Unlike when you are sick and you throw up, you feel a little better. There's like that adrenaline rush, right? You're like, yeah, all right, I did this, let's go out and play some b-ball,
right?
Or whatever. This time, no.
No.
You're like, no, let's go to the hospital. So I was there at the house, and I called you on the phone.
Yeah, right. But I know we're making light of it now.
Yeah.
But at the time when I heard you on the phone, I mean, it was obvious to me you were in big trouble.
Yeah. See, really the last thing pain. I want to do is like miss any work because, you know, you don't have paid time off or anything like that. The last thing you want to do is miss work. Plus, I don't want to leave y'all hanging. I love doing the show. You know, I look forward to it every day.
Yeah, well, I know, and I just feel like it was a very weird, like this was your third year kind of with
third in a row.
Yeah.
Appendix apocalypse of 2013. Lost the appendix. Last year was the inflamed pancreas because of a gallstone where the gallbladder was not removed.
Right.
But the stone was. And then just a couple of weeks ago with this inflamed pancreas, lodged gallstone, no warning signs at all. It just happened. I was there in the bathroom, and I gave you a call, and you just happened to be on a break, on a commercial break.
Right.
So you're able to answer, and I forget exactly what I said, but I know I said something effective. Dude, I'm going to the hospital.
Yeah, I remember the call being very worrying, you know, the sound of your voice and everything, and you were heading to the ER, and then later that night I heard that you had actually been airlifted to a hospital in Phoenix, and I'm like, man, so
yeah, airlifted to Phoenix, and I was there for 5 nights.
Yeah.
First procedure was done on Sunday. They put a tube down my throat. Of course, I was asleep.
Right.
And they got out. They cut open the duct because, for those of you who don't know, the gallbladder and pancreas share a duct.
Oh, really?
Yes, a drainage duct that pours into the small intestine. And since they share a duct, should there be a gallstone that lodges within that duct, it will also affect the neighbor, okay, which is the pancreas, which is not a disposable organ, by the way.
Not a disposable.
You have to have your pancreas. In fact, you need to keep that pancreas as healthy as possible. I'm so glad I've screwed it over 2 years in a row now. I'm so excited about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I got there. I was there for 5 nights. Procedure was done on Sunday. After Sunday, Monday, I went back in, and they surgically removed the gallbladder. And this week, I've been dealing with aches and pains and tired. And today, I was nauseous and I was sick again. And
dang, dude.
And it's very tender in this one region. And
yeah. Well, you've been through the mill since the last live cast. I just want to.
Done with it.
Yeah, I know. But I just want to welcome you back. And I do want to make note to the listeners that you, as far as I'm concerned, are in a much better place psychologically than when I saw you and talked to you, and emotionally and all the rest of it. You seem like you're at least recuperated in the brain to the point that you have. So
well,
that's
I'm a good
actor.
News.
I'm a good actor. The misery is later when I go home by myself.
When the sun falls, so does my
life. So does my countenance.
Yeah.
I think I texted that to you at one point.
I think, yeah, you might have, yeah.
Oh, man. It's been a rough couple weeks, but it's good to be back. And what a good week to come back because it's Parker Tube Float on Saturday.
It is Parker Tube Float. And here on the Parker Livecast to talk about it is Parker Area Chamber of Commerce Director Mary Hamilton. Mary.
Good evening.
What is happening?
Well, we're in the midst of a wonderful event that brings a lot of commerce to the Parker area. And we are actually ahead of our registrations from last year. So yes. It's really cool. It's going very well.
Now, I have heard, little birdie tells me, that registrations tend to be less than the actual amount of people on the river. And what I would like to do is, number one, encourage more people to register as they should. If they want to see it keep going and they want this event to be going on into the future, they should definitely help support it. And number two, I'd like to say, well, isn't it kind of badass that so many people are coming to the river to do this?
Well, it is badass.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have to figure it to be like a festival or a concert. Yeah, it's $10.
Right. Not very expensive.
Exactly. United States Coast Guard has an estimation about how many people we have on the river, and it's about 8,000 people.
Whoa!
And so it just got way better over the last 3 years, okay, including this year. So 2013, we put it online. We made the change to La Paz County Park, and we made it easy, and we reduced the price. So I think that people need to know that it is a fundraiser for the Parker Area Chamber of Commerce.
I think they definitely do need to know that, and also to know that it's easy to do. Now, when this podcast drops and goes public for people to hear, it'll be Friday, probably middle of the day, sometime on Friday, on ParkerLiveOnline.com. We will provide a link on the page where this podcast is hosted, where people can click right through. So if you're listening to the sound of our voice right now, there's a little link right there on the page. Just go cloop, and you'll go right over to the ParkerFund.com where you can register, right? Am I doing that right?
No.
No.
Okay, so go ahead.
Here's what we're going to do. You provide that link. They can go to the website, and they can see what the rules are. If they get into town earlier than 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon, then they can come into our office and pre-register and get free parking at La Paz County Park.
But you're saying for the purposes of the listeners now, we're done with
correct.
Pre-registrations. You just go to the park tomorrow, go to the park Saturday and see the people there and register in person?
Yeah, you can come to our office up until 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon, or you can register at La Paz County Park beginning at 7 o'clock in the morning.
All right. And the theme, of course, is Totally Tubular.
It's like Totally Tubular.
It's like
Totally. It's an 80s theme.
Yes.
So come dressed as your favorite 80s pop culture character.
Are you going to be dressed up, Josh?
I have a couple of things in mind.
Okay.
I'd like to be Jack Ripper off of Three's Company.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I got a couple of things in mind.
Good.
Actually, just to be alive during Tube Float is my goal.
Right, that's good stuff. And tell me a little bit about at the very end of the float, when people get back down to Blue Water Resort and Casino Beach, what's going to be happening down there and what time should they aim to be there and all of that?
Everybody should aim to be at Blue Water Resort and Casino by 3 p.m.
Okay.
And off the water by 4 p.m.
Okay.
Because I'm done after that.
Yeah.
Pretty much. But the whole thing about it is that we really want people to have fun.
Good deal. Hey, thank you so much, Mary Hamilton, Parker Area Chamber of Commerce Director. She will be out there at the La Paz County Park on Saturday morning. You can register with her and you'll see her running around like crazy. And then at Blue Water Resort and Casino Beach as well at the end. Prizes and a million other things, and try to be safe. That's all.
Exactly. No, yep. Let me add one more thing if you don't mind.
Yes, please.
This is a fundraiser for the Parker Area Chamber of Commerce. We've been doing it for 38 years. This is our 38th year. And I just want to say that what we do is run the year-round visitor center. We provide excellent referrals to our local businesses and excellent information to our visitors. We also do a lot of civic activities that are very important to our community. So pay the $10, get out there, have some fun, and be safe.
Thanks, Mary.
Thank you.
Thanks, Josh.
We'll talk to you later.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Mary Hamilton there.
Yeah. I tell you what, that gal has been running a mile a minute. I don't even know for how long now. And this is this is actually hard to believe, but she seems a little more relaxed this week than she has.
That's amazing.
In the upcoming weeks, it's coming. It's on its way. There's a lot to do, but it's been all right. It's a couple of days away now.
Well, when you have 8,000 to 12,000 people to corral, you know, it's
a task. Man.
It is a task.
Yeah, and there's very few people that are actually working on it. The office itself in the chamber, there's only 3 employees: Mary, Christy, Lisa.
That's crazy.
Throwing myself on there, that's 4. But I'm worth about as much as a bag of crap right now with all this. I can't
lift more than 10 pounds.
And literally bags of crap have been coming out of you. Yes.
Surgically removed bags of crap.
Right.
We don't want to get too gross.
No.
No. So it's a hell of an event, and it's a machine, man. It is you know what it's like? It's like the Dilaudid they give me. It's a beautiful nightmare is what Tube Float is. It's beautiful nightmare.
You're really selling it. Now,
no, but it is. It's beautiful.
Yes.
But it's a nightmare.
It is.
For the people that have to put it on.
Right.
But it's beautiful.
All right. Welcome to the studio, guys. Donald Schlecht and Kurt Bagby from the La Paz County Sheriff's Office. Good to see you guys. Tell me a little bit about Memorial Day weekend and how that went for you guys out on the roads and on the water.
Well, as far as the road's concerned, I talked to Lieutenant Poindexter, Sergeant Lepree. They were the ones out there. I guess the numbers were up. Generally speaking, it seemed like there was more people. In the past, like back in the day when I was a patrolman, you would see everybody go to the bar. Mm-hmm. You'd see all these vehicles parked out there. And then when the bar closed, they'd all drive away, which kind of leads you to believe that there's a lot of drinking and driving.
Right.
What we've noticed over the last few years is there's a lot more vehicles staying there and people coming back to get their vehicles the next day. Or there's people being dropped off by shuttles or designated drivers. The DUIs right now are up,
mm-hmm.
but the number of people are coming to visit seems to also be up. So kind of a per capita, we think by numbers, it's going down a little bit. And there's a lot more people getting rides using shuttles and that kind of thing.
So this is a super good trend to be seeing.
It's very good.
Yeah.
But one of the other trends is we're seeing a lot more drug, marijuana DUIs.
Mm-hmm.
No issue if the state decides they go to vote and they decide it's legal. Mm-hmm. That's what we're going to support. The problem is that people have to remember that there's still an impairment. It's just as dangerous as drinking and driving.
Right.
So there's an impairment thing we're going to have to deal with. And the officers are going to have to really up their training on recognizing the signs and symptoms associated with, being under the influence of marijuana.
Yeah. So you see an uptick in marijuana while driving and sort of so it seems like a downtrend on alcohol while driving, huh?
We think.
Based on the numbers.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And, Schlecht, you're now on the water.
On the water.
So, what is it like out there? Was it busy Memorial Day weekend?
Real busy.
I thought so.
This year is probably busier than the last 3 or 4, at least.
Wow.
There's an increased number of boat traffic. I mean, accidents were low. We only had 2 minor accidents.
Mm-hmm.
But
do you have any idea why people are coming out more or what's driving that traffic?
It could be fuel. I mean, fuel has dropped quite a bit
from
last year and the year before. I mean, we're down quite a bit for the cost of fuel. So
talk about, one of the things I think you and I discussed once before. Back in his heyday, he was, he was a boating officer coming in,
mm-hmm.
and the deaths on the river?
Oh, extremely high. I mean, it was...
When are we talking about? What year?
93, 94 is when I started on the water,
mm-hmm.
and the traffic was just crazy. A lot of accidents. It was hard for people to get boat insurance. I mean, I owned a boat myself, and I couldn't get insurance on it without going through a company out of California.
Wow.
So once I said I was using the Parker Strip, they were like, no, we're not going to insure you there.
Wow.
Not that boat.
And the dive team would go out trying to recover a body once a weekend.
Yeah.
And accidents were just...
So just the sort of the Wild West of the water was the kind of the idea. So now it's completely different, though. I mean, I go out there. I think some people who haven't been out for a while think it's still like that.
It's not. There is more family, but I mean, this weekend alone, the Memorial weekend alone, we picked up 6 OUIs, and that's 5 times more than we did the last year, the year before. Mm-hmm. I mean, they weren't out there, but they're out there.
Right.
And, but a lot of people are being safe. They have designated drivers, but there's the few that, I mean, these guys are towing a skier at 9 o'clock at night in front of the boathouse where the police boat's parked. You're just asking for trouble. And if you're doing 60 at 11 o'clock at night with no lights on your boat and our guy is sitting there, then you're asking for it.
And just to clarify for people listening, what is the law on that? You can be out at night, but...
You can be out at night, and the speed limit on the river is reasonable and prudent is what it is. So we don't want you, doing 2, 3, 4, 5 miles an hour, that's fine if that's what you want to do. We don't want you racing.
Right.
We want you up on plane and being careful and just looking for the other lights.
Right,
I mean, you have to really feel the water.
Can people ski at night legally?
No.
No.
After sunset. You cannot ski after the set time of sunset.
Okay.
So the guys check the sunset time. Say sunset's at 7:35. They'll start their run and look for people and warn them when there's a little bit of light left, and then it's just all the way down. They start doing the tickets. And
stuff but it
like
is that official sunset time.
Official
people
sunset
think,
time.
Oh, when the sun goes behind that hill. No, it's a certain time, right?
It's a certain time.
Yeah.
What about the early morning skiers?
Early
morning skiers. I mean, daybreak. As soon as you have light, then you
sun
can ski.
Sun doesn't have to be up.
You doesn't have to. If you have daylight.
You're not going to get nailed for that, yeah.
No, but what we catch in the morning is without observers, because you have one guy wants to drive the boat and one guy wants to ski, but nobody wants to get up and sit in the boat and watch the guy ski.
Right.
So we get quite a few of those in the morning.
Yeah. So it is a perfect time to be out skiing, I'll tell you.
It is.
Yeah, it's nice. Well, I mean, that many years of experience on the water, you got to have seen some crazy stuff.
Quite a bit. I mean, it has changed over the years. A few years, it was just big boats. You're looking at 40-foot boats. Robbie Gordon started that with these big boats that he started bringing out, and then all his buddies started bringing them out, and they were huge.
Yeah.
And now it's more deck boats and family boats, pontoon boats, things like that. A lot of personal watercraft. And the problem with personal watercraft isn't the kids on personal watercraft. I mean, in Arizona, it's 12 to operate. If you're 12 years old, you can operate a personal watercraft. You can operate a boat, 40-foot boat, twin-engine boat, whatever, at 12. In California, it's 16.
Right.
So,
see, I almost feel like it, like the sensible law there might be somewhere like 12 to operate something small and then 16 to graduate.
Well, all the personal watercraft, they're all jets. So people panic and they let off the throttle. You have no steering.
Right. Absolutely. So now when you say 16 California, I mean, people all ask me this all the time, assuming that I know everything. That Colorado River, I mean, the middle of the river is the state line, right? But people are not going to have a different law applied depending on what side of the river they're on, or no?
Now, we run the middle of the river for accidents, so it's statistics driven. So if they're closer to the California shore, we'll ask if California can take it.
Okay.
For stats on their side, and then closer to Arizona side for accidents.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as for enforcement, now San Bernardino's out there and they see a kid that's 10 on a California registered watercraft staying at Echo Lodge. He needs to be following the rules of 16. That's a California registered watercraft and he's staying in California. Now, if you're 12 in Arizona staying in the Keys, they really, it's up to them to cite you, but they're not going to because our law is 12 years of age.
But what about the guys that are going down? They're going down the river, they're going south. So they're on the California side. It's a 12-year-old on a boat. Will they, just for the viewers or the listeners?
Now, is that watercraft that is on, is it California registered?
Even if it's Arizona. Let's just say it's Arizona.
It doesn't matter. If it's Arizona registered, and they really don't do a line, but if you are staying in California and California registered watercraft, you're staying in California, you're going to follow their rules of 16, and that's what San Bernardino is going to enforce.
Oh, wow.
Over on the Arizona side, say I'm on a Arizona registered watercraft where my son is. He's 12. And we stay here in Parker, we live here, and he's going down the California side to get back down to the casino or something, then they, if they want to cite him, they can, but he follows our rules because it's Arizona registered and staying in Arizona, but the waterway is...
It sounds like that doesn't happen a whole lot.
It doesn't happen a lot,
yeah.
No. And most of the time, the division is with the accidents itself.
I see. Let's talk about Tube Float, which is coming up, of course, on Saturday. It's a big smoking deal. Do you have any stats on that? I know it's been going up and up and up. People come in droves for that. One of the biggest events, 10,000 are in the region of.
The stats are crazy because you've got the people that register and you've got the people that just get on the water. So let's say 5,000, and you talk to Lieutenant Schlecht, and they're seeing 10 to 12,000 people out there.
Right.
So, you know, is it important enough for us to go out there and start arresting or removing people from the water? I mean, that's not going to happen. You know, however, it does make it hard to know how many, you know, what the numbers are.
Yeah.
All they can do is encourage people. Are they removing them from the water?
What we're going to try to do. I mean, the big focus this go around is underage consumption. So we're going to be looking for a lot of that out there.
Okay.
As for, they're supposed to have wristbands, but for four officers that I have, myself and three others, along with San Bernardino, I don't know what they're going to have in a game and fish officer, and 8 to 10 to 15,000 people, we're not going to be able to see all the wristbands all the time.
No.
So it's going to be tough for us to pull them. I mean, the big concern is the underage consumption. It's a full river closure. And
which it didn't used to be, but now it's closed off completely.
It's closed off. Now, they allow you to have a motorized boat with, or a personal watercraft with a group of tubes, because we can't take the time to pull you out of spot. I mean, it's going to be windy. It is every time this comes up. And they get pushed into coves and they want to be pulled out.
Especially if we've got little thunderstorm warning in the
yeah, that 20% chance.
Yeah, that 20% chance. That'll just, I mean, if anything, it'll just elevate the wind and it's going to make it harder for people to get to the finish line.
Right.
Yeah. And
so it's going to be a moving closure. So they'll start at the county park, and when the last one goes, then everything north of that is open on the river. And as the line goes down, then it just keeps going when it gets to the boathouse or mm-hmm. fire station, then it's open from there up, and then the keys and there up. That's what it's going to continue to do.
Right.
And we're still going to get stragglers coming from the casino, people wanting to get up and go up to Roadrunner or up to Sundance or somewhere. And they have to be at a wakeless speed. It's just going to be slow go. I mean, that's the only thing we can do. We can't say, no, you can't. They're going to be able to move. We can't be everywhere at once.
Right.
Now, let's think about practical.
Yes.
Let's say we have 10 officers and 10,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And what people have to understand is our objective is not to see how many people we can arrest. That's not what the goal is. It's safety. You know, you've got 10,000, 12,000 people. I'm not condoning it, but a lot of alcohol,
mm-hmm.
water, not always life jackets. So the officer's main objective is safety of the people doing the two floats. So now, if they, which they're going to try to enforce underage consumption, but you're not obligated to have a driver's license. So it's not the easiest thing for them to do to try to take them off. I mean, you're not going to go fingerprint them, so it's going to make it really difficult.
So a large dose of common sense for the people going is probably the best advice, I would imagine.
That is it. I mean, we're out there for life and property, obviously. I mean, when this happens, about the time they get to Mike Max, a lot of the people are done and they want to crawl out on their docks and they just leave their trash there and everything else.
Right.
So they're going to have people set up at these places to keep them from doing that.
Oh, yeah. They're going to have security.
Security at certain locations up and down the river where we had the problem with these guys getting out and mm-hmm. getting into fights. I mean, usually by the south entrance of the Keys, and people are just burnt out.
Mm-hmm.
The sun's beating on you and they're done.
And you've got people down by the Badenoch Strip, the people that live in homes. And it's almost like riot gear. They're all sitting there waiting because people will get off the river, walk into their home to use the phone without asking.
Wow.
They have no regard. You know, they're drunk. They stagger. People, my friend, she lives, I won't say her name, but she lives right in that area. And mm-hmm. She's like, people have walked into her house.
That's crazy.
So, you know, they're out there, I don't want to say ready to fight. But
that's crazy.
I wouldn't like that either.
No. And I suppose there are appropriate places for people to leave the water, like the public launch ramp, maybe?
Oh, yeah, the public launch ramp. There's a couple that they have set up throughout that they'll let you get out at.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't want you hanging on the old jet ski rental place, which is called Mancation Nation now. We had a
right.
lot of problems there. And then at Mike Mack's place there, they had a nice dock, and these people are just leaving their trash and causing problems.
So that's the sort of stuff you guys will be enforcing.
Trying to keep them off of there. And they're going to have security. The chamber has security set up for a few of those places, and they're going to have somebody standing by with that. But they'll have other designated outspots, like by Badenoch itself, where
mm-hmm.
now that's closed. They're going to allow people to get out of that way, and they'll have dumpsters and stuff like that to get rid of their trash.
Yeah. We don't want to give the wrong impression. We're hoping security can alleviate a problem without people having to be arrested.
Yeah.
You know, don't want to turn this into an arrest fest.
Yeah.
Just hopefully...
Yeah, and it's usually a fun time right. for everybody, vast majority, right?
Yeah.
When I come out, you know what I spend the majority of my time doing? Mm-hmm. It's like Night of the Living Dead, because people think they don't take into consideration they make it out early, and they're trying to walk back up to the boathouse or to the Patria Flats. So it's like they're like in flip-flops, or they don't even have flip-flops. They're standing on hot concrete. Standing on
man.
A little t-shirt,
yeah,
and they're stuck. And so we end up shuttling because you don't want to just leave people. I've seen people on Highway 95 coming out of Badenoch going to walk all the way up in their swimsuit.
Yeah.
And that's not reasonable. So we end up shuttling people, even though that's not our objective or our goal to do that kind of
but
stuff.
But it sort of becomes a safety
you
thing in
to.
A way, yeah.
Yeah, you can't leave on the side of the highway.
Wow.
So it gets crazy.
Well, that many people, it's going to get nutty. Do you guys ever, I mean, is any aspect of that job of that day fun at all? Or is there any part of it that you actually look forward to as a cop on the water? Or is it kind of like...
Well, there's two different scenarios.
Dreading it.
A cop on the water
uh-huh.
dreads it, but the...
Cop on the water dreads it.
Right?
Yes. It's It's a monster. Yeah. I'd rather do four Memorial weekends in a row than one. I mean, it's just
he comes back all red faced and bitter,
not in a good mood, right?
It's pretty funny.
Well, so hopefully everything goes off safe and there's no problems this year. People, I guess, is there anything that people need to know that are going to be coming to this event that you think any advice or tips or anything that you think that would be sensible?
Yeah, there's the one thing that loses the people. They lose their keys every year.
Oh.
They get in their car.
There's one.
They put in the keys in whatever, and they start floating, and they either get drunk and lose them, or the keys go to the bottom of the river, and they're stuck without transportation. The car is stuck. I mean, I think the people that make keys make a lot of money that weekend. And now keys are a little chip.
Yeah.
You can't just make a regular key.
You got to send off for one.
Got to be. It's a real pain. So, I mean, if people can, they should probably bring like something to hide it in, to put up a spare under the car or something.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's been a real problem with how many cars are stranded because people lose their keys and lose their wallets. Or.
And then the next event will be 4th of July.
What date does that fall this year?
Let's see. Saturday.
So that means it'll be a 3-day weekend because
they'll do
observe it on Monday.
Monday, right. That's not quite as big as either Memorial or Tube Float, is it?
It's on the more water? Family. It's more family on 4th of July is what we found out. 4th of July weekend, a lot of barbecues and stuff like that. We still get a boat traffic. We're going to see how it is this year. Like I said, Memorial was so much busier this time around than the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. So we'll see if that follows through the 4th of July.
Okay, cool. Well, hope you guys do all right, and this Saturday will be interesting. Thank you guys so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Anything else you need to add?
Sunscreen and watch the drinking.
There you go. Sunscreen and watch the drinking. Words to live by, my friends. Kurt Bagby, Donald Schleck, thank you so much.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
Set your reminders. Saturday, June 6th, it's the 38th annual Parker Tube Float.
It's like totally tubular.
This year it's an 80s theme. Register at parkerfun.com.
Inflating this tube using all my breath. Floating with you, babe, was never second best. I bought some sunblock and applied it to myself. These painful burns prove that I could have used some help.
I'll get a tube and float with you. You've seen the pictures, and it's getting better all the time. There's nothing you and I won't do. I'll get a tube and float with you.
So that's about it, Josh. Is there anything else that we need to cover on this week's episode of the Livecast?
Nope. Enjoy Tube Float tomorrow. Be safe, like Mary was saying, and like Kurt and Donald were also saying. Be safe. Drink lots of water. Sunscreen. Buddy system. Wear a life jacket. If you're bringing your kids, keep an eye on them. Have at least one or two designated floaters along with you. It's very important. And just do your part individually to keep yourself safe, and this event will continue to go on as it has for the last 38 years.
Boom. Oh.
And I'll see everybody at Roadrunner afterwards. I'll be up there.
Is that where you're going to be?
Yeah. Depending on how you feel.
Depending on how you feel.
But yeah, I'll be up there DJing and MCing. So.
And also, I appreciated the little song that you did for Tube Float this year.
Yes.
I like that.
There was another one, but it's not running.
All right, Josh. Hey, we'll talk to you next week, everybody. And I believe Mike Collins. Now, a couple of weeks ago, let me just say a little programming note. A couple of weeks ago, we were talking to Mike Collins, and he said that he was the 911 caller on the Bernie the Skeleton story that blew up all over the world. It all started when the guy comes back in, this snorkeler who saw the skeleton at the bottom of the river, freaked himself out, came back, and Mike just happened to be standing. Our Mike of the podcast just happened to be standing at the side of the river at that very moment. This guy comes up to him and says, hey, can you call 911? I can report to you, we have the 911 call.
Yes!
I've heard it. We will play it next time on the Parker Livecast.
I love it.
Happy Tube Float, everybody.
Happy Tube Float.